All those men outside of Jesus weren't very valuable, worth much into the things of God. And I believe sometimes through pride we can feel we don't need God because our job is making us look good. We got driving a nice vehicle. We have a nice place we stay at, and we can look like on the outside that we don't need God. But in the inside, every last one of us, including your pastor, know that we need God. See, that sometimes it takes you being in the presence of God, in the temple of God, to get that understanding. But then comes Monday, ready to go to work in your nice car. You got the stereo on, prayfully on a Christian channel. And you're off to work, and all of a sudden you're on the work mode. And you forget within that you need God. And all of a sudden, every day, 8 to 12 hours, you start giving your boss. And you want to do the best you can at the job because you want to impress your boss. It might bring greater benefits, greater pay. And if we're not careful, it's real easy to put the boss of the earth in charge instead of the boss of bosses that created the heaven and the earth. Amen? All these great men of God were so great in the works they did that they were recorded in God's word. But we came to find out last Sunday that what made them great was that Jesus was with them. He would tell them over and over, "Do not fear, for I am with you." And I believe too many times we fear because we forget that the Lord is with us. Sometimes the trials of life, the storms of life can come our way. And it's real easy to forget that God is with us. Amen? We can forget that God is with us. But I want to let you know here this day that God is with us. And whatever you're facing, I want to let you know that the God that is with us is greater than anything and everything you'll ever face in this life. God is greater. That's why it's so important that we have a relationship with the Lord, that He may be first in our life. So as He's first in our lives and we get hit in the face by an attack of the enemy, because Jesus is first, we first go to Him. But if Jesus is somewhere on 8th in priority or 9th or 10th in your priority list or not even on your priority list, guess what? When the attack of life comes your way, you're not going to run to Jesus. But when He's first in your life, and things start going the wrong way, you will normally run to Jesus because He's your first source. He's first in your life. Here this morning, the title of the message is God Still Calling. God's still calling. God's still calling. And God's still calling to you and I. And this morning, He's going to speak to you. And you're going to sense and know that He's calling out your name. He's going to make it very personal here this morning. I know the Lord has given me a word. It's a simple word. But I believe if we just listen this day, and after listening, apply the word of the Lord. Just as He made Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Gideon, all great men of God, because he was with them. God is with us here this morning. I have asked him to speak for me. I'm going to be speaking about Moses and Aaron and how God says, I will give you the words. I prayed yesterday, last night, this morning, right now before I cast this, Lord, let it be your words. Give me the words you want to speak here this morning. Because how many know, even though Moses might have bucked and kicked all through the process in the beginning, somehow or another, God's word came through his life. And 2 to 3 million people were set free from bondage out of Egypt. God fulfilled his word through an imperfect life of Moses. God's word did what he said it was going to do as he would speak to Moses. They were set free from bondage, a place of 400 years of bondage. I want to let you know that today, God's word is still able to do what it says it's able to do. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. I want to let you know that God is still using imperfect people like you and I to carry out his signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. God is the one that's doing the work. But he's looking for a man, he's looking for a woman, a youth member this day that he can do the work through, that he can speak through. Because how many know it wasn't just in the time there of Moses there in Egypt of that they were in bondage for 400 years. How many know that there's still a present bondage of sin within this world? And even though the price of the bondage of sin has been paid in full at the cross through the life of Jesus, God is still looking for Moseses that will submit to the call of God. God's still calling. Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. I'm going to open up with two verses. This took place within the burning bush. Moses was under the Pharaoh for 40 years. Now he had been running, tending sheep in the desert there in Midian for 40 years. And all of a sudden, God got a hold of his attention through a burning bush that wouldn't be consumed. Amen. It was something that wasn't normal. The Bible says when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, that's at the burning bush, amen, God called, tell your neighbor, God called. God called to him from within the bush, Moses. Moses. And Moses said, here am I. Amen. God was calling to Moses. Moses was obedient. He says, here am I. It was just the burning bush, God speaking, and Moses. Unless one of his sheep was called Moses. But then we go to Exodus 3:11. Now the call has come. He said, here am I in 3:4. But now in 3:11, God tells him what he wants to do. And this is the way Moses responds now. But Moses said to God, who am I? From here am I to who am I? That I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor this day. I pray by the end of this service, Lord, after you speak to the men, the women, and the youth, that they would know not only who they are, but the calling that you have upon their life, Lord. Even if they're not ready to fulfill it yet. I pray that you stir that man, that woman, that youth this day to answer the call. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. I open up with, how many have been singled out by Jesus within a service where you know it was Him calling out your name over and over and over? You know it was God calling out your name. And whether you were sitting down or standing at the altar, it's like, here I am, God. Here I am. You might have come with issues, might have come with problems. You might have been having a good day, a good week. And you were able to say, here I am, God. You got the right name. You got the right man. You got the right woman. And you're happy that God is stirring you and He's calling out your name. And then whether you heard it while you were sitting down or standing up at the altar, before you know it, God starts giving you a vision. He starts speaking to you and who you are going to become. He starts giving you a layout of the call of God upon your life. And then when that takes place, we say, who am I? You must have the wrong person. Moses was able to say, here am I, God. What you got to say, man? What's up? Let's do this. Me and you. God gave the layout. God gave the plan. Then Moses says, but who am I to do such a great thing such as that? We ain't got a problem saying, here I am. But then the call of God comes and we say, who am I? That's for one of the leaders to do. That's for the pastor to do. I'm just coming to church. Just got invited this morning. One of the greatest calls ever from God would be given to Moses. And that's found in verse 10. And the Bible reads, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. One of the greatest calls ever. 2 to 3 million people in bondage for over 400 years. And God calls upon the name of Moses, that was tending sheep in the desert. To bring God's people out of Egypt. Let's go to verse 8. The Bible reads, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. So here, I want to let you know that God's plan for your life is not only able to take you out of Egypt, but here the Lord had a purpose for the life of Moses. He had a purpose for all the Israelites, all His people. It was not only to take them out of Egypt, but to take them into a land that was good and spacious, flowing with milk and honey. God's plan for your life is not only able to take you out of Egypt, but God's plan for your life is also able to take you into the promises of God, the promised land. Too many times we get set free out of Egypt, out of addiction, but then we stay wandering in the desert. We stay wandering in darkness without purpose. God not only had a salvation for his plan, a plan of escape, amen, from Egypt, but he had something for their lives. To be fulfilled. We too, Victory Outreach International, Victory Outreach Milwaukee, have the same call that fell upon the life of Moses. The greatest call ever. To set a people free that are lost and bound, that are in Egypt. God has called you and I to set the people free out of Egypt and to bring them into the promises of God. God did not just call us out of Egypt without purpose. And too many times, too many people get stuck in the church. They're saved, they're out of Egypt, they're out of addiction, but they're not using the purpose that God has placed within the life. They're not responding to the call of God within their life. They may be in the youth ministry. They may be in the worship team. They may be part of the ushers. They might be in one of the life groups or whatever it may be. Even in the college course. And not fulfilling the call of God upon their lives. We've been given a great vision from God that was given to Moses, that was given to Jesus himself. To take the sins of the world upon his own life, upon the cross. To give us opportunity to get out of Egypt and leave it at that? Or to take us into what God has for your life and my life? It don't come easy. And that's why many stay wandering in the desert, and before you know it, they die and they're not recorded. God just don't want to take you out of addiction and leave you where you're at. You can be addiction-free here this morning and still have major issues within your life. You can have a great job here this morning. All your bills can be paid. But if you ain't answering the call, there's a stirring right now taking place within your life. God has saved us with purpose. And the purpose he has given us to fulfill will always somehow or another deal with the lost and the bound. That somehow or another will always call for God to be with us. We can't do it apart from the Lord. That's religion. So a lot of churches having church, a lot of pastors preaching, yelling hard this Sunday morning without the Lord. The people we're reaching, we're going to need the Lord to go with us. Out of Egypt is what God did. Into the promised land takes change on our part. But here, too many are trying to enter the promised land with an Egypt mentality. You're trying to do church without being obedient. You're trying to do church without answering the call. You're trying to look good on the outside, but you're not really concerned with the inside because you know nobody can see what's taking place in the inside, but Jesus can. And as Pastor Jamie was saying in the offering, if you really love Jesus, you're going to be obedient. I really, really love my wife, so I'm going to humble myself when things ain't going good. Because I don't want another wife and another wife after that, because that's my past life. I want one wife till death do me part. One wife. In Exodus 4:3, the Bible reads, but Moses says, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." Moses was set in living his life like he wanted, not like God wanted. And too many times we get too comfortable in the church. Yeah, things are kind of going bad, but things are kind of looking up, and I'm good where I'm at right now. Moses was cool from being under the Pharaoh for 40 years. Now he's in the desert tending sheep, and he was okay with that. But God has something greater for him to do. Moses was set in living life like he wanted, not like God wanted. Ask yourself here this morning, have I been living life the way I want to live life or the way God has intended me to live life? Moses fought against the call of God upon his life. I shared with the men yesterday morning about the five excuses that he would use, that God had the wrong man. He came with all these excuses. His last one was the verse I just read to you. Amen? Lord, please send someone else to do it. Every time he would give an excuse, God would counter the excuse and say, okay, you got that short. Okay, I'm going to do this then. But God, I'm short. I fall short in this. Okay, I'm going to do this. And then at the end, Moses just said, this is enough, man. I got to shake God off, man. I got to shake him off. He says, get someone else to do it. Get someone else to do it. But when we were lost and bound, we weren't telling God, it's okay, just leave me out here rotten, just spoiling away, dying. God didn't say, I'll just get someone else to do it. Moses fought against God's call upon his life. I put here, I believe there's not one of us that at one time or another have not fought against the call of God upon our lives. It's just not any call, it's the call of God. We just can't do it any way we want to do it. Moses was okay that God was speaking to him, but when God gave him his request, Moses had a problem with that. We've all fallen short at times with the call of God upon our lives. It gets difficult, it gets hard. Sometimes it becomes impossible, where we need him in the equation. The proof of a successful mission was given to Moses from God himself. God was the coach. God was the one that was calling the play in and through the life of Moses. He did not make a mistake. He knew who he had chosen. If anybody knew Egypt, I wrote down here in between the lines I already had written. If anybody knew Egypt best, it was Moses. He knew the Pharaoh. He knew the way they operated. He knew where all the men slept. He knew where the armies were. He knew all the weaponry. He knew everything about Egypt. He had the whole layout of Egypt. He was very wise and taught by the best teachers of Egypt. He knew where everything was in place in Egypt. He knew the way Egypt operated. God knew who he was choosing to go into Egypt. And if there's a people that understands this day what's taking place out there in the streets, in the prison system, it would be a people like you and I. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. God has not made a mistake. God knows who he has chosen here this morning. He knows he's chosen a bunch of misfits. He knows you can't get nothing done on your best day without him. So God, reasoning there within the Old Testament, said, man, if there's anybody that knows the layout, I mean the ins and outs of Egypt from as far as the top is to the bottom, it's Moses. Where's Moses? He used to live in Egypt. Oh, there he is. He's all content tending sheep. Oh, Jethro daughters. At least in the movie I've seen, I had a lot of girls when they seen him. Hanging out in the desert. And I believe in the day we live in right now that God said, there's a lot of drug addicts out there. Man, a lot of crackheads, heroin. Use being used all over the place, prostitution, alcoholism. God, who can I use? Can I send the Virgin Mary? No. Who can I send? How about President Obama? Maybe if President Obama was to come with us and go to the streets with us, they would all get saved. No. Oh. Man, darn. Big Travis Church ain't got no money. I can't use them. We need finances. Oh, I know what. We'll use Trump. He's got the right words. He ain't afraid of nobody. Trump. Let me see Trump. Can't use Trump. He don't even know me. Can't use Trump. Maybe Trump and Victor Alvarez together, the finances, the ins. Nah, Trump would still mess it up. Then God says, man, I got to go to the bottom of the barrel. To reach the bottom of the barrel, people. It takes one to know one, we say in the streets. Been there, done that. He says, I'm going to use that church that's always going through ups and downs there on 1204. The pastor's always like, hi, how you doing? God bless you. I love you too. I really do love you. Really. If anybody understands the north side, south side, east, and the west, man, we got 75% Caucasian in our rehab home right now. They're from the suburb. You know why? You know why we got a lot of white boys in our program right now? Because I spoke one message a while back and said, we are going to be the answer for the suburb. The educated, the ones with the money, but without Jesus. They're doing heroin out there just like they're doing it in the north side and the south side. Jesus says, I know, I'm going to use the people that understand the layout. I'm going to use the people that even know who the enemy is. The commanding officer in charge. They know the way they're being mistreated out there. They know the way they're being lied to and deceived and how a substance is ruling their lives. I'm going to use the people that understand. I'm going to use Victory Outreach. That's us. Raw business. When would you go to a church and somebody would respond, "Yeah, baby." In Victory Outreach. In Exodus 3:4, the call of God would come through a bush and would speak into the life of Moses. He was no longer second, third, whatever he was in command under the Pharaoh in Egypt. He was tending sheep. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here am I." How many had told God before, "God, here am I. Whatever you want, God, here am I." And then the call of God comes. And we back up, "Wait a minute, who am I? Here am I, who am I?" Some are saying, "Here am I," some are saying, "Who am I here this day?" "I got you, Pastor." And then the command comes and says, "You somebody else, man, I'm busy." At one time, you used to die to be by my side. Now you're okay just sitting somewhere in the church. Egypt is creeping. Egypt is creeping. The call of God would come from God within a burning bush, and Moses would have an experience. He would have an experience to where he was able to say, "Here am I." But look how powerful God is. It was almost as if Moses was a brand new convert that day. And then God says, "Go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go." Say, what? He was like a brand new person in the church. It's like there's a new person this morning in the church. Say, hey, brother, what's your name? Joe. Hey, Joe, you're preaching next Sunday. Say, what? What's preaching? What's a preaching? Here, Moses was a brand new convert. "Here am I." But then the call of God would come and he would say, "Who am I?" God would envision him the very first time he would speak to him, and he would not only know that he was willing, but he would give him the call, what he was supposed to do. I believe there's people in the church this Sunday morning that know what you're supposed to be doing, and you're not doing it. And you're not doing it. The revelation from the burning bush, the flowers have come straight from God, and you're not doing it. And you're telling God, "Hey, let somebody else do it." But yet, last Sunday, you were claiming you've been saved for 10 years. Hallelujah. 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 This God business I'm talking about right now It's not anybody else's business. It's God's business. And sometimes we want to shine off God's business. When he's the one that giveth and taketh. Ah, but you'll follow that girl for any line she throws your way, any look. You'll follow that man, but you'll shine God off on a Sunday morning when he's speaking from the burning bush, calling your name out. We take everything for granted nowadays, the day we live in right now in Christianity, so much unto granted where we can shine God off. Not interested, God. Yeah, I hear you. Nah, I'm okay where I'm at. I'm cool. Yeah. Use Junior over there. He needs you. I don't really need you. I want to let you know you're going to be needing him one day. He was a brand new convert, and God was putting him to work. The need was so great in Egypt that God would speak to him and then tell him what time it was. And you know, the anointing upon our ministry is so powerful. In a few more weeks, we'll be going in having rallies where you can get saved here on a Sunday and go to the street the same day with us and lead people to the Lord. That's the anointing upon our ministry. You don't have to be in the church for 20 years to go reach out to the life of somebody that's hurting. I remember I was doing it the first time I got saved. I was out there 24/7 bringing recruits, laying hands on people, amen, with a pack of smokes in my pocket. Oh, you see, Pastor, that's being a hypocrite, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. I ain't got a pack of smokes in my pocket no more. I haven't had a pack of smokes in my pocket for 20 years now. The thing is, one time as I was reaching out, they slipped out and never came back. The proof of a successful mission was given to Moses from God himself. The calling of God was from God. The second proof is in Exodus 3:12 that I preached on last Sunday. It was for him to have a successful mission, to be able to carry out the task, the assignment that God had given him. First, the call came from God. Secondly, and God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain, this very mountain. You will worship God. The third is the sign there in 3:12 that would take place, that God would tell Moses that you will worship me. After you take him out of Egypt, you will worship me here at this very mountain. But the worshiping of God at that very mountain would come 40 years later. 40 years later. It's found further in the Bible where they were all at the foot of the mountain. It would come 40 years later. Answering the call of God will always require faith. Answering the call of God will always require faith. Because sometimes you're going to have to sit and wait. Be still and know that he is God. It's not that God ain't moving. It's just God working some things out of our lives that need to be removed so that we can effectively answer the call of God. The proof should have been enough for Moses to believe, but it wasn't. It should have been more than enough proof that the call of God came from God, from the burning bush. The proof should have become great enough by the second proof that God told him himself that he would go with him. And then he gave him a little sign, you're going to be worshiping at this very mountain. This is how you're going to know that the calling upon your life is from me. I have waited 20 years for certain areas in my life to come to pass. And in order for them to have come to pass, I had to stay on the path, on the straight and narrow. I had to stay obedient. I had to continue believing in God. I had to continue spending time with God. Because there's some things that we got to wait on, that we got to have faith. Because God's working out something within our midst. With the greatest proof in the world, Moses should have believed it came straight from God. We have the greatest proof in the world that Jesus is with us, that the call of God upon our ministry is from God himself. Isaiah 45:2-3, I read it again, one of our promises scriptures given to our ministry. I will go before you, amen? Before you. And you will level out the mountains, and I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. Come on, verse 3. And I will give you the treasures of darkness. See, when that promise came, it was one that we had to have faith upon, that our founder had to have faith. In a very troubled time in the early stages of our ministry. I mean, that's a pretty heavy revy that people from the streets, treasures out of darkness, were going to be given. Okay, and what? What are we supposed to do with them? I could see treasures out of the suburb will be given to you. Okay, we got money now. But what are we going to do with treasures out of darkness? Where are we going to put them? What are we going to call them? How do we treat them? We have the greatest proof, just like Moses did. The same calling of Moses. We have the greatest proof right now to believe that God spoke to our founder over 47 years ago. Our ministry is in over 33 countries right now, all over the world. You and I should believe that God is truly with us in every color and tongue. That God is with us. Sometimes when you can't see it within our church, see it in Chicago, see it in Africa, see it in London somewhere, see it in the Philippines, see it in Mexico. We are all over the world because the call is from God. The call is from God. And not only is the call from God, but in order for us to be all over the world with the type of people that we used to be, God must be with us. God must be with us. In our world conferences, there are the mighty men of valor coming around the corner, and I'm going to give a commercial right now. I want to see some men from the church. Not sacrifice, but be grateful to make it to the mighty men of valor. I don't want to show up just with the rehab. I want some men from the church that says, I'm going to show up. Mighty men of valor, right around the corner, there'll be people that are white, black, brown, yellow, green. There's all kinds of colors from all over the world. Guys with bald heads with all these gang signs and corners they think they own and all that stuff. Big old matones. I mean, guys with no necks with their sunglasses on. Some will have little crazy hats, big mustaches. Side by side, broken, side by side, gang after gang after gang after gang after gang after gang after gang in the same place. That alone is a miracle, but in the same place worshiping God, God is with us. There should be a proof within our life, within our ministry, even if you're a new convert, that God is with us. There should be a proof right now of God ministering to you right now. As I speak, you should be like, you should be sitting down and your toes should be wiggling. All right, is that me? Did he say Moses? Man, you should be ready to get that call. But it's kind of hard to get the call when you're nodding out. Some of you are saying, can he preach a little bit lower, man? I'm trying to get some Z's right now. Ain't happening. Stayed up for 2 days to put this message together. And you want me to be real whispery? I want to leave this church real tired. Where I can barely walk and everything hurts. And I finally make it to my house and say, thank you, God. Be with my body. I ain't trying to save no strength up here. Play it smart. That's never been me in the world, and that will never be me in Jesus. The proof should have been enough for Moses to say, man, you got it, God. Anything you want, God. God was speaking to him audibly through a bush in the desert. That bush in the desert represents the men's rehab, the women's rehab. We got some more sisters in the rehab right now. They're like saying, who is that crazy Mexican? I met him this morning. I said, hey, God bless you, sister. Nice to meet you. God bless you, sister. Now I'm preaching. Is that the same guy? Yep. You would think that we would have the faith to know that God is with us and that he can use anybody, including you and I, because I too at one time sat at the chair that you're sitting at, and I heard the call of God come to my life over and over and over, and I responded, not having a clue in what to do. Because it was a different calling. It was no longer the calling of Satan upon my life. It was a new language, a new strategy that I had not a clue about. But all I knew that it was God. It was God. We should have the proof to believe here this day. Pastor Sonny Argazzoni, our founder, was an ex-heroin addict out of New York. Almost every elder, I believe, but one was also ex-heroin addicts. We have an evangelist I put here called Art Blavos. He's an ex, was from the Mexican mafia, hitman. Going all over the world right now, preaching the gospel. Doing a live drama, blood in, blood out. A hitman. He's the real deal. You can ask anybody in California. He's the real deal. But God called out to his name. He's up there in age and he's still built like a mountain. He does push-ups every day. He still thinks he's locked up, I think. But I think he does all that exercise to keep his drama alive. So when he speaks, hello, my name is Art Blagos, and I was in the Mexican mafia, and I was a hitman. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. You are part of the very promise of God here this morning that was given to our founder, our elders, our multi-regional pastors, our regionals. You and I are part of the promise that was spoken to our founder over 47 years ago. If he could use them, he can use us. The proof is, the writing is on the wall. That you don't have to be about something to do something great for Jesus. No person is qualified, capable, adequate, sufficient, not in his or her own strength to serve God. Poor Jamie, I always use him as an example because he's a theologian in the Word. He needs God. None of us are qualified. Jesus is the one that qualifies us by saying, I will go with you and be with you. But then again, he's looking at the lost and the bound out there. And he says, man, I need, I would like to use some other ministry, but I got to use Victor Outreach. I still got to use Rick in the men's home. I still got to use Rick. See, I got 20 years of experience now, which is nothing to what God still wants to do in my life. But I just happened to be in the alley at the rehab yesterday and chilling with my old lady. That's my wife. For those that are proper, my spouse. I had to seat back a little bit. I was trying to act hard, right? I was in my car. And I seen somebody come out from behind the trash cans like this, walking down the alley. Now, I know the way people walk. I know the way street people. I know the way winos walk, prostitutes walk. You know, every car going by. That's every car going by, amen? I know how people walk. But this guy had a hoodie on, his hands were like this, and he was going. And I went, beep. Person looked back like that, but I didn't know who it was. I just said, I better not be one of the guys in the home. Who was it? One of the guys that was in the home. So I'm staring, I didn't know it was a guy. I'm acting hard, I'm just, you know, with a seat back, chilling in the alley, and the Rick comes out like this. I was like, man, dude, backstage looks like he's smoking crack all the time, amen? And Rick comes out of the alley. I think, what's his name, left. I think he left. Pastor, with your permission, can I please get in the van and go chase after him? I said, you got my permission. He's driving it because he used to be a car race driver, so he says. I don't know, I've never seen a car, a picture or nothing yet, yep. But he said he was with Mario Andretti and all those big guys. I don't know if he's. But he goes zoom going down the alley. I just fixed all that van from the head to toe. He got resurrected. And he's flying down the alley after this guy. And I said, I like that. I like that. I was acting all hard in the alley. I went like this. I was on this side of the alley, and I see that blue sweater walking past McDonald's. I said, come on, Marlene, let's go, man. Rick went the wrong way. He's driving fast. I'm acting hard. I put it in reverse. I look both ways. I just had another car accident. I'm so paranoid driving behind a wheel now. So I'm all paranoid, and I back up real cool. We're going by McDonald's, and he's right getting at the end of the block. I says, love, just turning the street. And he's like, into my car. I said, hi. My brother, I don't want to say his name. Let's say it, Jeremy. Amen? So if you see him somewhere, you tell him Pastor was preaching about you real good and positive. Amen? I said, what's up, Jeremy? He had the hoodie down. He was embarrassed. He's a white brother from the suburb. He looked like a gangster from the north side. rocking like that with the hoodie wrapped all around him. Couldn't tell if it was a Mexican, a black guy, or a white guy. And I pulled up real smooth. I said, hey, what are you doing? Where are you going? I don't know, Pastor. And I said, I know you don't know where you're going. Near this rick. See, Rick is in the process, and then pretty soon he's going to get a bloodhound nose, and he's going to go. I said, where are you really going, man? Where are you going? I felt in my spirit that Rick was already on the east side somewhere. I went real smooth, amen. The experience kicked in. I said, where are you going? I don't know, Pastor, man. I can't do it. I said, well, I agree with you. I know you can't do it. I can't do it either. God's the one that's going to do it, but you got to stay in position. I said, get over here, man. Let me pray for you, right? Comes to my window, and I laid hands, and I earnestly, with all my heart, prayed for him. Instead of rebuking him before, I would rebuke you. What's wrong with you? You loser, that's what you want? Go then, and don't you dare come back. You wuss. I knew you weren't going to make it. That was me before. Do it, move in, and do it now. But I've stayed in position. So come here, bro. Laid hands, and I prayed for him. He was all broken. I prayed for him. He said, I'm just not ready, Pastor. I said, all right. I said, God's ready. And just know that that door is wide open for you. As soon as you figure out again that it's not working, you can make a U-turn, amen. If you bump into Rick, amen, he can bring you, amen, back to the house. But you ain't going to bump into him today because he went that way. The motive was good, but the action was the wrong way. He was broken. Put his hands back in his pocket, the hoodie, and started walking again. I said, wow. Told him there was a calling upon his life. That he could come back whenever he wanted to. God's people were in Egypt in total bondage for over 400 years. Nothing could set them free but God. Even though they outnumbered, even though their numbers were way in the millions, they were in bondage. Nothing could set them free but God. I put here, I don't know about you, but there was nothing that could set me free but God. 20 years ago, nothing worked, not even prison, not even death. Nothing worked. Till this day, there is nothing that can save the lost and bound but God. One of the excuses of Moses was not only who am I, but who are you? Who do I tell them that you are when I go and tell Pharaoh, yeah, right, go let my people go? Who do I tell them you are? And I believe that is the problem of the church today. Though they come to church, they have not a clue who God is, what he's able to do, and how he's able to use any man or woman. You don't know God. Moses did not know God. He says, who do I tell him you are? Who do I tell him sent me? Too many times we feel we can get through this life without knowing God. My friend, you can't. You can't. You cannot get through this life without knowing God. Because in this life, you will have trial and tribulation. You will have problems. You might have some that you can get by with your own willpower or your wisdom, your finances. But you will meet a bridge where you're going to call out to God. That's a promise. I know that nothing, I mean nothing, was able to change me and set me free but God. And He did it not in a church. He did it while I was in prison. He would set me free. He would speak to me as He spoke to Moses. He would use there in Victory Outreach Salinas, He would use an imperfect people to do a perfect work within my life. He would use Pastor Herb and his wife that I still surrender under, that I still submit to 20 years later in high obedience. I know I always say that I've been saved 18, 20 years. Some of you are saying, is it 18 or 20, Pastor? Get it right. No, it's been 18. I've been saying 18 2 years ago. For 2 years, it's really 20 now. Makes it sound better. But as I was putting the message, I said, that's heavy, man. It's like it was just 20 years is a long time to be under the same person. In the ministry of Victory Outreach, many things were asked of my life that are way beyond the normal. And I was obedient. I was obedient. And that's why I'm able to stand here 20 years later still preaching and not forgetting what the Lord took me out of and who He used to lead my life when I didn't know nothing. He would use an imperfect people to do a perfect work within my life. He just didn't use Pastor Herb and Sister Margot. I ran the rehab for years. He used guys from the streets to develop my life, to do what I'm doing right now. Exodus 4 and closing. Exodus 4, 13 and 14. One of the excuses here of Moses that he couldn't speak well. Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." Verse 14, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well." This is God speaking about Aaron, that he could speak well. "He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you." Even though Aaron, the Bible says in 14, was able to speak very well, God said that about him. He was a good speaker. Verse 15 says, "You shall speak to him," this is Moses to Aaron, "you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak." I thought Aaron was a good speaker already. "I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do." Even though Aaron was a good speaker, him and Moses would still need help from God to speak the words of God. And even though God had called Moses along with his brother Aaron, God would still have to teach them what to do. See, that's why we got to remain with a teachable spirit. Some people reach a certain place with me and they think they don't have to listen to me no more. Not good. That's your first mistake. Verse 15 says, you shall speak to him and I will put the words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. And I close with something I squeezed in here this morning. Anytime the words come from God, your actions will have to change. He not only said, I will give you the words, I will help you with the very words, but he said, I'll also teach you what to do. Anytime the word comes from God, it's going to call also for your actions to change. So God is not only speaking here this Sunday morning, he's also willing to teach you what he wants you to do. But too many times, if we don't remain teachable to the word that's being given, you're not going to have to change the action to accommodate that word. You can know English and read the English Bible and still need the help of God to help you speak and to do what he has called you to do. God's language is not the language of the world. It's the language of the Spirit of God. It's not the language of the flesh, of the carnal man. It's a language that we need to learn. But to first learn it, we got to hear it from God. And God uses people. And as we hear it from God, God will also empower you and I and teach us to do what he has called us to do, which deals with the lost and the bound, the call that came to Jesus, Moses, and to Victory Outreach International. But too many times when we're going through it, we don't want to hear it. Too many times when we're going through it, or we've been hearing it for a long time, for years now, and we grow in the things of the Lord, and we think that we don't have to keep on listening no more. When you stop listening, you're going to stop doing what God wants you to do, what he wants to teach you to do. He says, I'm going to give you the words you're going to put in. If you keep on reading, he says, it's like you're going to be God to Aaron. Here this day, God is speaking. And he's using through a man that has been through the process and still in the process. I was a nobody when I came to the Church of Victory Outreach. I had no wisdom whatsoever of God. Even my worldly wisdom took me to prison and to death over 15 times. But I want to let you know that when the calling of God is from God and he promises that he'll be with you, he'll back it up. I'm at my mountain right now. This word that God spoke to me, amen, I was in prison. Then I went to Victory Hours, and now I'm here. I know this is my mountain that God spoke to me over 20 years ago, that where I would worship him, But some things you got to wait for. And it's those great things that God got for your life that you're going to have a faith for, that you're going to have an obedience unto. And I'll be the first one to tell you, it gets real, real hard. In ministry. Because there's an adversary and he does not want us to reach the lost and the bound. That's why he thought he had the victory at the cross and he killed Jesus that was helping the lost and the bound. The disciples would become martyrs. Talking about faith and obedience. But within our ministry also, we have a great obedience that the Lord is well pleased with. I want to let you know here this day, I always say this phrase, that you can be obedient even when you don't know what to do. You can say, here I am, Lord, and yes, not who am I, and yes, you can use me, because I know if you called me, you will equip me, you will prepare me. I was there in the presence of the Lord, and I told Felipe, go get David and Elena and tell them to sit in this front row. You got to feel the urgency right now within your life. Because it's not just Susie calling or Joey calling for the 100th time today. It's God. It's God calling unto your life. It's God. You just can't blow off God because you think you're okay. I'm looking for some fresh men, fresh women, fresh youth that are willing to say, you know what, Pastor? Here I am. Whatever you need, you can count on me. I may not have it all together, Pastor. I still need help in this area and in this area and this area. But I'm just letting you know, man, I'm here, man, and I'm in the process right now. I'm hearing the word of the Lord right now. I know that he's going to have to help me also to change some areas within my life to do what he has called me to do as the worship team comes forward. I was so busted tired yesterday, and I went with my wife. We were just going to go do one thing, and I says, let's go visit such and such brother that just had a surgery. We went there, and we had to go straight home because we had all these things still to do. I says, no, let's take care of all these things right now. All tired. Let's take care of everything. That way tomorrow we can relax. So then we took off to the hospital and visit Debbie. Went to go visit Debbie. She went grocery shopping. She's been saying for the last 3 weeks she was going to go grocery shopping. We came back and I said, we did it, love. We did it. Took care of all those things, dead tired. When I go to Daniel's house, I got to pray for him. I got to pray for his wife. Then I got to pray for his 97-year-old grandma. She goes like this when I walk into the room. She loves me so much. She don't know it. But when I'm praying for her, 97 years, born again as a young little girl, 97 years in the Lord, she don't know it. But I'm the one getting hooked up, not her, when I pray for her. I ain't no dummy. So we came into the back of the house, put some long hours in, the furnace, all that stuff. The guys did it yesterday. And we came in, I said, we did it, love. And I'm still riding like a gangster, but I'm tired. I need a bed. And she goes like this, and I give her a high five. Yes. I walk down the hallway, I said, oh, my God, these dogs. I got to go pick up poop now. You go shopping, love. I want to take care of the dogs. I don't know how I made it to my bed last night. All I know is I woke up with Elias all over me. My wife was not in the bed. I guess she took off because Elias didn't let her sleep. And I woke up with Elias laying on me to come and preach the gospel this morning. Because that's what God called me to do over 20 years ago. He